Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to Bruce Kluger and David Slavin, co-authors of "'Twas the Night Before Christmas, 21st Century Edition." Stick around, Santa fans!
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free download at Stitcher.com. That's S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.com.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are nearly 700 archived celebrity interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by ThePartyAuthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event in the New York, New Jersey, or Pennsylvania area? For any and all occasions, call The Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of sponge-worthy regifters in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, as partially retold by celebrities."
"'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring. They were all watching House, the season 3 box set on DVD. Listen, I know I just rhymed house with house. Just go with me on this. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that that bearded schmuck would soon be there.
The children were all nestled, all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. Oh, what the hell kind of kids are these dreaming about sugar plums? And mama in a G-string, and me with my cheap booze. And just settle down for along with the snooze.
When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. I know I probably shouldn't have beaten that sash. I don't know what I was thinking. Broseph?
The moon on the breast of the new fallen snow. I said breast. Made me see more good. Even after all that blow. When what to my wondering eye should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeers."
What I don't know about Christmas could fill a week's worth of shows. But what I do know is business reporting. And the investigative work done by Bruce Kluger and David Slavin in their new book, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas, 21st Century Edition," should be a prize winner for its depth and insight into the Santa scandal of our era. This behind-the-scenes expose of the selling of Santico is shocking to even the most disinterested viewer. There must be a special place in hell for T. Clive Dingo of Giganticorp, but especially for Kyle Kringle, son of Chris. And reserve a place for all the folks at Giganticorp who are keeping "'Twas the Night Before Christmas, 21st Century Edition" out of American bookstores. A conspiracy of silence, if ever there was one. Joining me today are Bruce Kluger and David Slavin, who write and produce for National Public Radio's All Things Considered. They also produce the instant classic biography, Young Dick Cheney, Great American. Bruce Kluger and David Slavin, welcome to Mr. Media.
It's great to be here.
Thank you, Mr. Media.
You guys must have had some real inside information, maybe on the level of WikiLeaks, to get the inside dope that you did on the Kringle scandal.
Well,
oh, it was leaks. It was leaks, no question. I don't know if
it was a flight of fancy. Dave and I have worked on a couple books before, but this is the first time we attempted a holiday book, and it was Dave's idea originally to come up with the notion.
Yep.
Got to blame it on somebody. What it would be like if a giant American corporation did a leverage buyout of Santa's workshop, and of course set to the classic poem, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." What we found delightful is that, you know, while it's still hard to write funny, the plot twists almost wrote themselves, because we've seen this scenario work so many times in the American business culture that if you just take the slight leap of fancy to say, what would happen if Santa's workshop got bought by a mega corporation, Then the rest falls into place. Of course they would outsource the job of Santa. Of course they would relocate to Honduras. And of course they would downsize the elves, who are already downsized to begin with. So that's a bit of a challenge.
And of course you're now hypothetically saying this didn't happen. Is that what you're saying?
You break the news, Dave?
Yes, Virginia, it didn't happen.
Oh, no! I bought it.
But it would, and it will.
I can't.
At some point.
I can't believe I fell for this. So you're saying this is not an act of American journalism? This is an act of fiction?
Well, wait a minute.
It's sort of the American journalism of today. I mean, you could call it that. You sort of take the facts and manipulate them to your own designs. But yeah.
And,
so
and
you,
hey, if buyers want to believe
journalism.
And if the stipulation for buyers is that it's real, then it is nonfiction. As a matter of fact, it's the Pulitzer Prize winning nonfiction of 2010.
Well, that was what I thought until about 60 seconds ago. My God. Because I was, you know, I'm thinking, I couldn't remember anyone penetrating the Kringle and gigantic corporate defenses like you guys did. But what you're saying is, this is made up.
No, it's made up like Fox. It's sort of modern day made up.
Hmm. Well, has what you guys made up made you at all, you know, skeptical about the winter holidays?
Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce.
I've always been somewhat skeptical about the winter holidays because I'm a Jew. I can't exactly embrace the whole biblical aspect of it. However, as a lapsed Jew, I should let you know that I've always enjoyed Christmas more than I've enjoyed Hanukkah. So I'm a little bit of a conflict here. When I was a little boy, my father owned a toy store, and we got Christmas presents. So that kind of sucked me in from the beginning.
How could you enjoy Christmas more than Hanukkah? Hanukkah's so much fun. There's deep fried potatoes.
And sad songs.
Aren't all the Jewish holidays full of sad songs?
All of Jewish history is full of sad songs.
I thought Purim had at least an upbeat rap song or something.
Well,
like
it's
that.
Still minor chords.
Yeah. Good point.
What kind of response have you gotten to the book, guys?
The response has been... It's been curious. The response has been what we wanted as far as laughter. And, I mean, that's the bottom line. That's what we do with NPR and our columns for other newspapers or online venues. It's been laughter. But there's been an added component of anger afterwards. I've spoken to people that said, yeah, well, I laughed all the way through it and then put the book down really teed because they said it rang all too true.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how well you managed to fit the idea of, a Santico and a Giganticorp to modern life, right down to the Twitter page and the elf mail on something that looks a little like Yahoo. And the graphics are phenomenal. I mean, you took over the Huffington Post.
Amazing what a little Photoshop can do.
How long did it take?
The interesting thing is that you're Mr. Media. I mean, after we exhausted the Christmas aspects, you know, there's only so many Christmas tropes you can go after and make fun of and parodize and satirize. But we really felt a lot of freedom in satirizing the media. Because the media is, you know, the major driving engine, is the major component. Not your show, of course, but but the cable television, especially, has and magazine covers and loud, frantic newspaper covers have been the driving force behind most scandals in this country. That's how the message is delivered. So that gave us a lot of latitude to be able to do.
Yeah, and some papers that weren't even scandals were made into scandals. So, I mean, it sort of goes with the Jon Stewart, Stephen Colbert rally, I think most of the focus on that was chastising the media more than anything. Mm-hmm. And, it's shooting fish in a barrel because these guys, they make it pretty easy, I got to say.
Well, so now I'm looking at the book with all new eyes, now that I know it's not true, which I'm still having an issue with. And so I
really,
see
are you going to need to talk to somebody about this? I mean, I may.
I was going to offer to actually, you can call
I really
me.
Feel
I
kind of bad now, Mr. Media.
Well, I may have to go talk to one of Oprah's favorite writers to get some input on this
James
whole.
James Fry, yeah.
Yeah, you know, this whole made-up thing.
Dr. Phil is booked.
But, you know, I am seeing things in here now in a very different light, like the cover of The Star with Santa Monica and the cover of Maxim, Mrs. Claus, heats up our pole. I mean, the topless photo of Mrs. Claus. I at first thought you guys had really stumbled onto something here. That maybe that, you know, and now I realize it's parody.
Yeah, that has a big "ew" written all over it, doesn't it?
Well, Mrs. Claus, you know, I mean, her hair is gray and she's got wrinkles around the eyes, but her body's
rocking. She really actually has, for being about 900 years old, she's kind of she's aged well.
Now it seems like the only person.
What do we call her on the cover? Oh, we've had the slogan. Time for MILF and cookies.
Yeah,
you know, that's
right.
That was good. Now, it seems like in the end, and I don't want to give away the ending, but the only one throughout the book who actually comes off pretty well is Kris Kringle himself. Somehow, he sustains. He does.
He has his flaws. You know, he has his weaknesses, baked goods being the main thing. But he does pull himself together at the end and mans up, I'd say.
Do you guys have a group of other Claus fiction that you would put this in, whether it be film or TV or books? Are there other things that you've liked in that genre?
Well, Dave must have talked to me, and I'm embarrassed to admit it on your program for anybody else to hear, but I never saw Elf. And you can hang up on me now if that's okay, Bob. I would understand that. I never saw that, but Dave invoked that an awful lot during the book as far as the sense of humor and as far as the genre that we were hoping for. And I wouldn't be so self-assuming to say we lived up to it, but Dave was a great barometer for.
I guess I love Elf. Love Elf. But really, when it comes down to it, there aren't many other. I guess Bad Santa is another one that comes to mind. But other than that, you get pretty standard treacly fare for Christmas. So you have to
How many The Santa Claus episodes were? I mean, installments were there?
I think
three,
there were four?
11? 22?
I was reading my mind. I was actually thinking of the Santa Claus, the Tim Allen movies. I thought they're not terrible.
But
no, they're not
terrible.
Awful. You know,
something with a little more. I mean, I think pretty much everything we do carries irreverence as its main driving engine. But and
adolescent. Don't forget adolescent.
and sophomoric.
Well. Guys, let's take a quick break. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media Radio interview with National Public Radio writer-producers Bruce Kluger and David Slavin. Sorry, David. Co-authors of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, 21st Century Edition. And we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Julie Bowen, and I am a face of influenza. Health officials now recommend everyone 6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this and every year.
We all are faces of influenza.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated. Visit facesofinfluenza.org.
Hey, this is comedian Mark Maron, and I love Mr. Media Radio, even though he didn't let me go on as long as some other guests.
This is a public disservice message from the National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Don't waste your evenings doing volunteer work at your local mental hospital. Remember, even if you do, the crazy people there will probably think you didn't.
This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media Radio interview with National Public Radio writer-producers Bruce Kluger and David Slavin, co-authors of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, 21st Century Edition. Guys, let's tell folks a little bit about your day jobs, or part of your day jobs, as writer-producers for National Public Radio's All Things Considered. How long has that been going on?
What is that, Dave? Is it 19,000?
10 years, probably something like that. I'd say somewhere.
Yeah,
around
the first one was Dick Cheney's Energy Task Force.
Energy Task Force. Yeah, that was.
So I guess that would be 2001, maybe.
That came on the heels of working at Salon.com. We had a fictitious, I know, hard to believe, but fictitious memos to George from, at the time, his chief of staff, Andy Card, who would send George Bush his memos of the week. So we followed that up with working at NPR.
And that was actually the memo to George. Remains one of the more enjoyable things that I've ever, from my perspective, one of the more enjoyable things that Dave and I have produced together, because it really gave you an opportunity to look at what you thought was what was happening behind the headlines every day. Believe it or not, back in 2000, 2001, 2000, the cable news was not as loud as it was. Fox News was nowhere near where it was. So we, you know, the analysis we were doing, and hopefully humorously, about what was really happening, you know, interoffice wise between Andy Card and Karl Rove and President Bush, was a lot of fun to speculate. And there wasn't as much of it on TV. Now, I'm not sure that a memo to George series would play as well now, because everybody and his brother is weighing in on it on TV and doing their own spin.
Well, are you going to? You must be thinking, though, that what you were probably writing is somewhat parody then turned out to be more true than not.
Yo, I mean, you couldn't write a lot of the stuff that happened during those 8 years. But it was interesting to see that, I mean, Fox News was such in its infancy. I mean, I'm not sure at that time that there were a lot of people taking that many satiric pot shots against the administration. But, boy, they were, again, right for the picking.
And you know, YouTube, I'm not sure of the years, was it even around, or if it was in
its
infancy? But parody has just, you know, everybody's become a parodist. And while there's a lot of stuff out there that's lousy and homemade and, you know, and wanting, there's a lot of stuff that Dave and I watch and said, gee, it would be fun to be that funny, you know?
Now, let me ask you guys, contributors and hosts of All Things Considered have a reputation for being intellectual, left-leaning commies. I suppose you're going to tell me that's not true either?
That would be Dave.
just the commie part.
Oh, just the commie part.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
You know, I was actually going to the left-leaning, some sort of, well, there you go, adolescent joke, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay above board here.
What was the first thing you guys wrote together, and how did you get together?
I was working at the time, Dave is a voiceover artist, and I was working at the time, I had been an editor of Playboy for 13 years, and I had left in February of 1999, and I had begun a freelance career out of my home, and I was writing a piece of satire for the Los Angeles Times, about the Academy Awards or some event, because I had broken in there, and I was getting a couple of assignments, and I met Dave. You know, we live a block from each other, and we have daughters almost the same exact age, and we were at a birthday party of a mutual friend and met there, and one day our friendship started to grow. One day Dave was here in the house, and I knew we got along, and we laughed with each other, but I said, help me out here. I'm looking for a joke for this piece, and I read him the setup, and it was at once the most enlightening and depressing moment of my life, because off the top of his head, he had a funnier punchline than I could ever have thought of. And I thought...
And it's been that way ever since.
You know, that's where you were supposed to say, oh, no, Bruce. Should we tell him the argument we had this morning on the word for our blog? We were arguing back and forth.
Well,
sure.
I don't know how risque is Mr. Media.
As risque as you want to be.
Okay.
We
Go
were
ahead.
Having an
we have a blog that supports the book. It's actually called Sacked Santa, SACKED, SackedSanta.tumblr, TUMBLR.com, and it's basically Santa's unemployment blog, telling everyone what he's doing since he got canned by Gigantocorp. And today we had a little argument about that very article that you referenced, Mr. Media, in the Maxim picture of Mrs. Claus. And we were going back and forth because Bruce contended that the thing we were writing was better served by calling it potential woody material. And I said, no, I really thought potential boner material was better.
So I
had
counted
an extensive argument about it because I thought woody material is something you might buy at the Home Depot, whereas boner material was put so much more out there.
And you know what, Mr. Media? You just got a double answer, because this answers your question about NPR contributors being intellectual. I think you just nailed two questions in one.
Yeah, they were. We were the diversity at NPR.
You're part of the circus.
The dumb guys.
You say it now, circus, like it's in the past.
You know how when you go in the circus, you're watching these just amazing gymnasts, you know, or to high-flying trapeze artists whose technique and performance is so deft and so stunning and so exquisite, and all of a sudden the clown car rolls in.
I was thinking the dog act.
Where they're jumping on their hind legs.
Yeah, I always thought.
Well, you know, you could always hear it in their voices when we call up with an idea for NPR. You could hear the eye roll from Washington, D.C.
Well, listen, folks, you can't find Bruce Kluger and David Slavin's new book, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas, 21st Century Edition," in every chain bookstore, unfortunately. So order it right now at a great price at MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com, or I suspect, can they order it at SackedSanta.com?
Yes,
they can order it at Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, Borders.com. Independent bookstores all over the country.
Okay.
Actual bookstores you can get it at. The only thing it's not on is the is in the actual Borders and Barnes & Noble store. An irony that Dave and I should write a book that satirizes corporate America, and then we get screwed by corporate America. But, you know, hopefully most people buy online. So,
yeah.
And the name of the website, by the way, is, the name of the website is twasthebook.com.
Okay. Well, we're completely out of time, so Bruce Kluger and David Slavin, thanks so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Thanks so much for having us, Bob.
All right. And folks, for more original interviews with your favorite humorists and comedians, surf over to our main website, mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, a comment on today's show, or would like to advertise on Mr. Media Radio, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, twitter.com/Andelman, or on Facebook, just search Mr. Media Interviews. Thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening, and happy holidays, everybody.